both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I'm your co-host, David Golden, from OregonSportsNews.com. Joining me, as always, my man, Jake the Half-Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What's up, man?
What's up, dude?
Finger guns back.
I say you had to bring it back, man. good stuff. But yeah, I mean, we got an exciting week of MMA stuff to discuss.
All kinds of fun stuff.
A lot of shit in the news.
Yeah, for sure.
Some sad, some good, some bad. I don't know.
Yeah, there were some sad things. At least one super sad thing to me. Did you see that Chris Lieben announced that he signed on the dotted line to bare knuckle box?
Sure did.
Phil Baroni.
Yeah. I did see that. I don't know, man. It, like I said, just some sad news, and that's a sad one for me.
Me too, man. I hated seeing these guys online like going like, yeah, Chris, awesome.
The Crippler is back.
Yeah, the Crippler is back. All this nonsense. Do people really want to see Phil Baroni and Chris Lieben bare knuckle box?
I think like 150 people do.
Man, that is such a depressing fight for me. And then I read that Chris Lieben is talking about this might be the thing that catapults him back into doing MMA. Like, man, I don't want to see Chris Lieben fight MMA anymore. I don't want to see him fight.
Yeah. All this screams to me is we're hurting for money. This is what we have left, you know?
Man, I guess so. I just feel so bad for Chris Lieben. Just because when you listen to him talk, like you say it all the time, like when people sound punchy,
like
he sounds punchy to me when I hear him talk. I mean, maybe that's not the case. I mean, because a lot of people do talk about him as a coach and how good he is at coaching. Mm-hmm. And he's a really sharp mind and he really works well with people. So maybe that's just how he talks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I just know he sounds rough.
Man, he never gets in a fight that's like, this is an easy fight for Chris Lieben.
Yeah.
Like that's never fucking happened. Like he's always in a war. He's always just getting.
It's, you know, the whole, he's got a big head. He's going to eat a couple shots to give you a shot and hopefully you fall down before he does, you know, and, it's not the best for your brain. You know? And then, you know, Phil Baroni as well is the same kind of guy. It's a blockhead. Like, don't get me wrong, on paper, like, I don't know, 8 years ago.
8 years ago, no, maybe like in 2001, like you might have wanted to see this, like 17 years ago, like you might have wanted to see this fight.
2001? No, think so?
No,
I was gonna say, was Lieben even around?
It just feels like it's been that long in my head. It just feels like forever ago. Okay, 10 years ago.
First
still.
Fights I ever went to, Lieben was actually fighting at. It was I was at the Red Lion, at the Key. I don't know if it was at the Key or what, but I remember my dad took me, and I was still in middle school. But I mean, that's how long ago. Like he's been around, so it's kind of crazy. Like looking back on it, like I didn't realize who it was until like you know a few years later. I was like, oh shit! Like that was Chris Lieben I saw that night. You know,
right?
I don't know, man. Like I said, it's kind of sad because you know it's obviously he's hurting for money. I was telling you earlier, because, you know, we're discussing what we're going to talk about. I ran into a guy, is actually Ed Herman's cousin, at 24. And, like, me and him, we'll bullshit every now and then. And he was telling me how, like, Chris Lieben at one point, you know, had multi-millions of dollars or whatever. Because that's, you know, he was making his money knocking people out in the UFC and this and that. And he just fucking just spent it all. Just all of it away, like,
all
super
of it
fast.
Gone.
Yeah. All on, you know, painkillers and what have you. It's just some people are just, you know, they're self-destructive. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I can understand wanting to do the thing that you know how to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and something that you're passionate about. I totally get it. It makes a lot of sense. Like I really enjoy writing about MMA, but I'm not making a ton of money doing it, you know, but it's not damaging to my body. You know what I mean? Like I certainly pursue it less because at a certain point I wasn't getting enough sleep because I was spending more time writing, you know, and that's so minor compared to I'm getting punched in the head, you know? And Phil Baroni is like in his last 10 fights, he's like 3-7. And you go further back, there are more losses. You know, Phil Baroni has not been good the last few years. And like he's a victim of like losing his athleticism, right? Like Phil Baroni's whole game was he was super fast. He could punch hard and he could punch fast.
Yeah.
Like that was your thing. Like I guess you were a wrestler, but
well, he's a knucklehead is this thing because no one even knows that he was a Division I wrestler or Division II, whatever it was. He wrestled in college. Mm-hmm. Like he was,
He trained with Hammerhouse, man. He trained with a lot of really killer wrestlers.
He was at Team Quest for a while. You know, he was, you know. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something here that we don't know about, too, between the two. Because, like, he was at Quest. He was a Team Quest guy for a minute.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some history there. Maybe they're just both like, hey man, we're both fucking not doing so hot. Let's do one for the fans and make money.
Whatever that promotion was that put out the last bare knuckle boxing card that had all those guys on it. Mm-hmm. I think this new promotion clearly saw the cash grab available and said, oh, well, if they can do it, we can do it. And this is how many dollars we can give you. And they were like, oh, okay. For a boxing match without gloves. Okay, sure. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. We talked about it. Seeing how bloody it was and how brutal it was. It wasn't for me. Like,
yeah, I'm not into it. I'm not into this whole, like, everyone's really into this, like, let's make MMA as brutal as possible. I like having a sport. Mm-hmm. I like that it's a sport. It's mm-hmm. not a, you know, we're not gladiators. You know, people like to compare us to, we're the modern day gladiator. No. I'm not trying to die. I'm not fighting for my life. I'm not.
You're not fighting a wild animal.
I'm not fighting a wild animal, no.
that kind of reminds me of this week. Chael posted on his Twitter something about Bruce Lee and how Bruce Lee was a wimp, but he had good thoughts. Yeah, and all these people are like, you guys, MMA, like somebody posted like MMA is fake, there's rules, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I saw that too. it's a sport. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You know what? If there wasn't rules, your martial art would definitely win.
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah.
You know, I've heard that too. You know what's funny? My strength and conditioning coach, the shirt I'm wearing right now, every now and then, like, you know, he's a muscular dude. He's a shorter guy, but, you know, he's got some muscle on him, right? He's one mm-hmm. of those guys, but I think he has a little bit of a short man complex. And sometimes, like, he tries to act like, because he was a Marine or whatever, but mm-hmm. he tries to act like, you know, if we're on the street and da-da-da, and I have to remind him, like, listen, just because you think you don't have rules and you can do this and that doesn't mean I can't do it either. The difference is I'm going to be better at it than you. So I don't care how much weight you can lift. I can knock you the fuck out. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a back and forth kind of thing. It's like, it's not serious, but.
Yeah.
You know, I think some people overlook that aspect too, as in, oh, that means we also don't have rules.
Yeah, you know right. I mean? Exactly. Like, well, and let's remember, like, if we're really being serious about it, I've seen plenty of fights on the street, and usually it's not just two people. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if there's like four dudes and one guy, and the one guy is a tiny Asian man, like, yeah, you might be good at karate, but like, if four dudes jump on top of you and hold you down and beat you up, there's not a lot you can do about that.
Definitely a strategy to fight mm-hmm. multiple people.
I mean, I've seen giant dudes get beat up by multiple people.
Yeah.
You just gotta know how
to do it, man.
When I was in high school, there was this guy who's a total asshole. His name was Nick. I don't remember his last name, uh-huh. but he was a real piece of shit. And somebody hit him in the face with a master lock. Like there was a big fight out in the field, like a lock you'd have on your locker. They held it around their knuckle and blasted him in the face with it. Whatever. This guy deserves it. He's a fucking dick.
I don't know. And
trust me, this guy's a total asshole. I can tell you some stories about him. You wouldn't even believe it. Like,
okay.
Anyway, but like, you know, even this guy, you know, 6'3", big giant guy, talks shit to everybody, total mm-hmm. asshole. Like boy, you're a real tough guy until like three dudes jump on you and someone hits you in the face with a master lock.
Yeah.
Then you walk to the office bleeding, asking for some assistance.
Well, I mean, you got hit in the face with a lock, man. That's a metal object.
Sure.
Ouch.
That's not even that bad.
Bad?
When you consider what could happen out there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it could be worse.
I've been hit with a bat before.
I got hit in the face with a bat once.
You get hit in the face? I didn't get hit in the face. Luckily, the guy did hit me in the head. So he hit me. I hit across my shoulder / back. Like, I got in a fight with this guy.
This was like a real fight. Mine was just... We were playing at the park, and someone like accidentally hit me in the face with a bat.
No, I was in a real fight. Like, I was a junior in high school, and I was on my way to wrestling practice. But there was this kid, and he had this video where he was like, "N-bomb this, N-bomb that, and whatever," and like some reason, like, he called me up. You know, and I was driving with my buddies, and he calls me up, and he's like, "If you want to fight, meet me at this school." I was like, "All right, cool." Pull up there, and there's like fucking 20 people there, and I was like, "So what's up?" He's like, I woke up like, so I was like, "What's up, man? You talking shit?" He's like, "Well, actually, I heard you were talking shit." I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right." And I throw off my hat, because I was actually one talking shit about him. So I throw my hat off, boom, I hit him, I get on top of him, I start punching him, right? And his buddy runs up with a bat, cracks me with a bat, and like, I had my two buddies with me. You know Steven Southern, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fighter. Steven was there. Steven fucking kicks this dude in the face. Bow. And then like, all of a sudden, it was just us three just standing over this kid, just like kicking him. You know?
And like, see? And that's your classic street fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. So Phil Baroni and Chris Lieben.
Yeah.
Is brutal enough as it is, and it's not even like a street fight. I don't need to see all that blood. I don't need to see that mayhem. I don't need to see one of them on the canvas bleeding. I don't need to see it.
Well, I mean, if we're going to make a prediction, I'm going to say Lieben's going to knock out Phil Baroni.
You know, I want to say that, but it's a boxing match. It's not an MMA fight, so I don't really know what the hell's going to happen. I have no idea, because Chris Lieben is like a grinding kind of fighter in MMA, you know? Get you against the cage. Yeah, man. He gets you against a cage and foot stomp you and dirty box you. Like,
yeah, but he also was the little...
Yeah, yeah. Well, that shit would start happening if he was losing a fight. He'd start doing those crazy, you know, his crazy just like swinging for the fences. But like, when he was controlling fights, man, a lot of times he had people against the cage, and I don't know. I haven't watched a Chris Lieben fight.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't watched a Chris Lieben fight since the Akiyama fight. It's been a while.
Man, I remember that shit. That was dope.
Yeah, it was dope.
I was a big Akiyama fan.
I loved Akiyama.
Yeah, Sexy Yama was the
best walkout ever.
God damn.
Yeah, dude.
I wish he would have lived up to his little hype he had.
Yeah, whatever.
Is he still under contract? Seriously, I really
know that was a serious question, but that's hilarious. There's no way.
I think he technically
There's
is.
Absolutely no way.
Dude.
He's got to be like 45 years old.
Bro, but he dropped down to 170. He had a few fights there. But he was a dude who would like fight like once a year. Gomi just got released by the UFC.
Gomi has not fought for the UFC in a super long time.
But
and
he just got
a fight announced.
I know, but he just got released not that long ago.
All right. Well, let me look it up real quick. Pause.
Okay. Pause.
Wow, you're right. Gomi's last fight. No, Gomi got released from the UFC in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
just got released not long ago. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he fought, and then he went and he fought for Ryzen, and he lost. And then they just announced that Gomi is fighting Melvin Gillard at Ryzen, which is crazy. And then
but my point is, like, Gomi like went on like what? Like a 6 or 7 fight losing streak before the UFC released him?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Like, the Japanese fighters that have big names, they tended to keep around a little bit longer. Because even, what's his name? Akiyama or fucking Kid Dynamite or whoever that kid's name is.
Kid Dynamite?
No, Kid something, man.
Kid Yamamoto.
Kid Yamamoto, yeah.
I liked Kid Yamamoto. He had dope trunks.
Huh?
He had dope trunks. He always had nice, like really, really fancy fight
gear. Yeah, yeah, he was, I heard he was pretty deeply involved with the Yakuza.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to look up Akiyama right now because I looked up Gomi and that was enough. But
okay.
But he probably, it feels like he hasn't fought in a super long
time. No, he hasn't fought in a long time.
I just feel like there's no way he's under
contract. I just think he's done fighting, but I think he's probably still technically under contract with the UFC.
So what you're saying is he's coming back?
No, no, no. I'm just thinking that if he were to ever come back, it would have to be under UFC.
Man, I feel like he could just call him up and be like, yo, let me go. I want to fight over here. And they'd be like, okay. Probably.
Yeah. Didn't he not win?
He couldn't have any... I mean, what could he draw for the UFC? Nobody who's watching fights now cares about
whenever
him.
Whenever they go to Japan, that's when they're called up.
How, they don't go to Japan very often.
Exactly. That's why he only fights once every 2 years.
Yeah, I guess.
No, that was kind of like my point. Like, the UFC, for some reason, they would keep these Japanese stars around just to, like, one of those... Just in case we come back to Japan.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
So it was really
Dana White had like a weird fascination with Kid Yamamoto. Like even before he signed him. Yeah, he's like, I remember there's a video of him where he's like sitting cage side and he like holds up a magazine and it's like a fight magazine, you know, and it's got Kid Yamamoto on the cover and he's like, this is my guy, I'm bringing him over. Like he's holding it up. Like,
he was hoping it was
one.
Gonna,
and it was just like there was this long wait because the weight classes weren't right for him, and then he just never really.
Yeah, he never lived up to it. I mean,
no, he really didn't. Which is too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was exciting. I mean, ish.
Yeah, no, he was exciting, especially in Japan. He was super exciting.
Yeah, exactly, in Japan.
But whatever.
He has that crazy flying knee he does.
Yeah.
That's like the number one clip I see of him everywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, well. Times they are a-changing.
I'm thinking about trying that out next fight.
Good thinking. You should use that.
I might, depending on who I fight. I mean, I really might. it's a good chance. I don't know.
You never know.
I mean, you were questioning my athleticism. Now I feel like I have to show it.
I would never. I would never.
You did. You did.
I heard you say you're always like in the top three people picked in sports. Didn't you say that,
dude?
The other day?
I'm fucking athletic as shit. I'm not even joking. I just haven't had the chance to show it to anybody.
Jake is gonna wow you all with his athleticism in his next fight.
I might just come out and just fucking be like, you know what? I'm tired of knocking people out. I'm gonna get on my bicycle. I'm gonna jab. You know, just moving, show everyone I can move, I can dance. Because I feel like people don't, like, I do it all the time, like in practice and shit. Like, it's fighting's different. I don't know.
Yep.
It's very upsetting, though.
Yeah.
I am athletic. I promise.
I believe you. You're a fucking professional athlete, bro.
Like, fighting was the one, like, athletic career where you can not be athletic and be good at it.
You still have to be at least a little bit athletic, man. Like,
no, not at all.
Jake emphatically shakes his head no.
Nah, dude, I have too many fucking cases where it's just no. Ryan Walker, very unathletic. He can't catch a ball. Can't catch a football. Like, when he catches it, he claps his hands together. Like, he's one of those guys, and he panics. Can't, you know, you can't run. Can't, you know, Pat Healy's not a very athletic guy. Dave Jansen. It's just you're tough. Tough grinders.
Yeah. Well, I feel like they are more athletic than your average dude. Just throwing it out there.
Maybe, man.
Jake does not agree.
I don't know.
Moving on.
All right, we're moving on.
This week, another thing that went down was another episode of Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Yeah.
And there's a couple things from that I wanted to talk about.
Alrighty.
First, I wanted to say that kid... That is represented by Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey is his manager. His name's
Edmund, I didn't know that.
Shabazzian, yeah.
Oh,
Ronda
that's
Rousey
why.
Is his manager, okay. And he fights out of that shitty ass Glendale Fight Club. And his coach is Edmund, who was in his corner, looking like, you know, vintage,
looking thick.
Yeah, looking a little thick, looking vintage Edmund, just standing there not knowing what to do because it's not the same thing and he's not a good coach. And this dude went in there and he gets the knockout and they give him a contract. But like, man, I thought he looked like shit. He went out there and he had his chin was up high and he's just throwing punches wildly. It felt like he just overwhelmed the guy with just like this wild barrage of strikes that did not seem well placed or well timed. And then the dude was overwhelmed, turned against the cage, and he got clipped. Well, he got clipped and they knocked him out.
Oh, okay.
The guy knocked him out. But like I wasn't incredibly impressed or anything.
Yeah.
Like really? Like you're gonna bring this kid along and you're going to, I mean, granted, he has some other knockouts on his record, blah, 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 you know, but like clearly this is a Ronda Rousey is your manager thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean that, you know, that fucking helps for sure.
I mean, I know it's all about who, you know, but like in this scenario, here's the problem I have with it. Is that later in the show, or earlier in the show? I don't remember what the bout order was because I watched it late and I just jumped around a little bit. But one of your teammates, Austin Vandeford, fought on that card and he had a pretty impressive performance and did not get a contract.
Yeah.
You know, he went out, and if you haven't seen the fight, Austin went out in the first round and he landed some good counter strikes. He was landing a really clean counter left hook. You know, he looked pretty good. You know, he was definitely hittable. You know, he wasn't able to get out of the way of all the strikes of his opponent, and he paid for it in the first round.
Yeah.
He got clipped and he ended the round, you know, in a bad spot. He definitely lost the first round, but he didn't look bad leading up to the point where he got caught, you know, and he recovered, and then he comes back in the second round to overwhelm his opponent and, you know, clip that guy, get him on the ground, get on top of him, you know, work some ground and pound until he could get into a better position. And he got the rear naked choke and he gets the submission win. And I think it really showed a lot about the kind of fighter that Austin is, in that he can overcome adversity, then he can come back and he can get the win. Even in the first round, he did get a good takedown. You know, he looked strong. You know, looked to be ready and prepared. But he gets the win and he doesn't get the contract. And I think personally, I think it's related to his record. I think having only four fights going into that fight, I don't think the UFC was going to sign him unless he had some spectacular 30-second knockout in the very first round kind of deal, you know? But you couldn't have asked for a whole lot better performance out of a guy, especially someone who gets caught in the first round, you know, and he's fighting a guy who's pretty highly touted out of Team Alpha Male.
Yeah.
And, you know, he sort of got overlooked in a sense, but I kind of see where they're coming from.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Like we were talking about this earlier and you're like, yeah, you know, maybe it's because he doesn't have enough fights, but, and you know, they need people for the show, this and that and whatever. But still, it's kind of like, why the fuck are you having these people on the show? If your plan is to, well, we're going to have them go to, you know, a smaller show and work their way up, then just have them do that. Because I don't think people realize how discouraging that is for a fighter. Like, yeah, you know, he's only had five professional fights, you know, but when you feel like you're at that level and you deserve to start, you know, getting paid the way, you know, professional fighters should get paid. And then to go, well, you're almost there, but you got to go back down and work for, you know, fight another 2-2 fight. You know, that's really discouraging for a lot of fighters. Like, you know, Ricky, when he went through his thing, he won, you know, they're like, yeah, well, we'll call you, whatever. He didn't get a contract. So, you know, they call him a couple times, like, hey, we got this short notice fight. He's like, cool, boom, I'm up for it. Nah, we found someone else. So, you know, you're doing this whole thing and now you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is this, you know, am I actually ever going to get my shot? And you got to go through, you know, the smaller regional shows. And I mean, it's discouraging. And if, you know, you're not going to give these guys who deserve contracts just because of the record, then don't fucking have them on until their record is for sure where it should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
I don't know, man. It's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating watching my teammates do this, where I know he is good enough to compete, but he has to, you know, do another fight. He has to do another one of these, like, to really make sure.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to give Greg Hardy a contract, even though they're going to put him down in a lower thing, or I don't know. It just seems a little fugazi.
Yeah, it's a little bit messed up, but for Austin, the way I look at it is I genuinely believe that I feel the same way about Austin that I did about Ricky. And I did have some information that I got about Ricky after his performance that I don't have here with Austin. You know, I didn't talk to anyone. So this is me just, you know, speculating. I think that they look at Austin and they think, okay, there's a guy who we can develop into someone who could be potentially like a, you know, a top 15 guy in a division versus, you know, a guy that they feel like can come in and put on a really exciting show and get the crowd hyped up, like Sean O'Malley, right? You look at that guy and you think, boy, like if he really puts it all together, he could certainly be a very good fighter. But right now what that guy is he's going to come in and he's going to put on a hell of a show. The fans are going to love when they see one of his fights, right? And so the UFC says, that's the guy we want because that's the guy that fans are going to get excited about. Whereas if, you know, you look back at Ricky's fight and it was, you know, it was methodical and it was, you know, full three rounds and all of this, like, you know, they're going to look at that and they're going to go, well, that guy's going to be really good, but he's not necessarily going to, you know, get the fans jumping out of the seats.
He's not that much of a personality.
Exactly. Yeah. But they think very highly of him, right? And they did think very highly of Ricky, and I think they still do. And that's evidence. But you know, you look at his current matchup against Benito Lopez, and you go, okay, that's a big fight. They want to see what these two young guys have going for each other. In Austin's case, I think they look at him and they say, okay, he did really well. He probably exceeded their expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, some people alluded to it online that they kind of brought him in and they felt like, oh, they wanted this alpha male guy to get over on him.
I think so too, though.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's a fight, and they had to know that there's a chance that Austin could win, right? And his body of work isn't quite there for them to examine. And so, you know, that's their problem. They brought him in, and he gets this huge win. I think they're going to look at him and say, okay, this is a guy with a really good wrestling background. He obviously knows how to finish. Like, you know, he gets two, three more wins, and we bring him in. Maybe there's something really good for him versus, hey, you have five fights, we bring you in, you know, and what happens? You go the Sage Northcutt route, right?
Well, I was going to say,
and then it takes you a while. But they're not going to invest the time or the money that they have in Sage Northcutt into Austin. They're just not going to.
I see, because of the personality,
you know,
because of
the look, and you know, even though you getting off the bus, but Austin looks great, but you know, Sage Northcutt stands out, and people look at him and they're like, oh man.
Well, Mickey Gall, right? Throw Austin in there with Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall is getting fucking swarmed and beat up. Mickey Gall is not smitting Austin. Mickey Gall's not taking him down. He's not out striking Austin. Like, Austin's biggest like knock or whatever is the fact that he is easy to hit. Like, you know, I was telling you that for a while before, you know, this fight happened. Like, you know, it's true, but he's getting better every fight. You know, it's just, I see what you're saying, and I get it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, come on. Like, you're doing this with other guys, right? There's other guys who you've signed faster or, you know, the UFC can sign him in there and be like, all right, well, let's have you fight, a lower tier guy. You know, I don't know.
They pick and choose, and it's divisional as well. Right? You know, like if you're fighting at 85 and you have that win, they almost, you know, undoubtedly sign you.
If they need you, they sign you.
And, you know, those lower weight classes have a lot of fighters, you know.
170 is kind of jam-packed.
You know, like everywhere from there down. You know, 70, 55, 45, you know, everywhere.
Do you think if the alpha male guy would have beat Austin, do you think he would have got a contract?
Probably, because it was in the first round.
Well, let's say he finishes him in the second. Do you think that changes everything? It's like, oh, well, it went an extra round. So
it's hard to say. It depends on how the finish comes, you know. And I don't think he looked incredible. I mean, he didn't look like a world beater. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, it is what
it's politics,
is.
It's politics, man. That's what fighting is. Yeah, it's politics.
But I think, like, personally, I think that it's, the way I look at it, I think it's better for Austin not to be there right now.
Yeah.
You know, five fights, I you know, there's very rarely a case where a guy with five fights should be in the UFC. Mm. Like, I'm not saying that Austin doesn't have the skills to be there. I'm just saying if Austin wants to get there and be a champion, he should build up and try to get a few more fights. And at this stage of his career, like, maybe you have to fight three times, you know, in the you got to get fight after fight after fight. Maybe you have to do that, you know, and you got to think about matchups, but you got to get wins too, you know, like that's really important. So we'll see what happens. But it is interesting that, you know, now you have three guys, three wins, zero contracts.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
From Crazy Baja Portland. So
two finishes and one decision.
Yep. So, you know, But that does say a lot about the gym. So
I mean, yeah, obviously,
all the guys who are out there working hard.
That is kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the other thing that comes with that is, you know, Tuesday Night Contender Series continues on. They're going to go, hey, you know what? Jim kept winning. Mm-hmm. Gracie Baja Portland. Those guys kept winning. So let's get one of their other guys. You know, maybe that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I don't know.
We'll see. Who knows? Whatever.
I don't know. It's just, you know, like I was saying, it's frustrating, and I know. I mean, I haven't talked to Austin or seen him since, but I'm sure he's maybe just a little bit discouraged. But, you know, I think he knows that, I just went a couple more times. And
yeah, probably. But, you know, it's funny. You think about a guy like Austin and think, like, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. this guy is living in Southern Oregon, and he's training to fight. And, like, can you imagine, like, if someone told you 3 years ago that, like, oh, man, in 3 years you'll be winning on this Dana White show, you'll be engaged to Paige Van Zandt. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a little,
like,
it's
like
crazy.
This guy is, like, really living probably things that he thought out in his head are, like, really going that way. So, no, like,
trust me. I get it.
The world is his oyster. He'll be doing all right.
Yeah, he's going to be okay. He's an ultimate winner. He's one of those guys who just kind of succeeded at everything he's put his mind to, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, no, totally. And then he'll go and, you know, maybe he'll go and do really well in the UFC. Or, you know, the other thing to remember is, you just got this win on the Tuesday Night Contender Series. You're not signed to the UFC. Bellator.
Well, here's the thing is, the rumor was Bellator was trying to sign him before this Dana White contender thing. And I thought I was like, oh, that's a power move by Bellator. They're like, oh, let's get this guy now. Mm-hmm. And then I think he got the offer from Dana White, you know, the Tuesday thing.
Sure.
I think there is that prestige to saying you fought in the UFC.
Totally.
So I think even let's say like Bellator's offering you an extra $5,000 than what the UFC is going to offer. A lot of people are still going to sign with the UFC despite, you know, the money there, which, you know, to each their own. Which
well, down
totally
the line, I mean, down the line, if you're a champion, you know what I mean? Like, boy, UFC champion, you get endorsements, you get all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it sounds pretty sweet. But at the same time, like, you can go to Bellator and sign, like, a, you know, 3-fight deal with Bellator.
Yeah.
Go get 3 big wins in Bellator, become a free agent. Oh, hey, Dana White, you didn't want to sign me then.
Yeah.
I just came over to Bellator, whoop these 3 dudes' asses, and then go there if you want. You know what I mean? Or go over to fucking Ryzen. Go go to 1FC.
Yeah, yeah.
Go where the money is, man. Like, who gives a shit about?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times more people are more concerned with the, I guess, again, prestige. I don't know.
Yeah,
the,
for sure. You know, there's something to
the
it,
name
man.
Value of it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which I get it. Like,
well, and the biggest stars in the UFC, people know who they are, and the biggest stars in other promotions, not all of them are super well known, with the exception of Bellator, right? You know. Whatever.
Which I guess, you know, just kind of whatever fancies your pickle. Like, are you more looking for, you know, Dustin Poirier route, where he said, like, look, I don't care about these headlines. I don't care about, you know, this and that, whatever. He's like, I have a family, and that's what I want to do, is just provide for my family. He's like, if that's in the UFC, awesome, great, fantastic. If I have to go somewhere else and do it, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's a guy with a plan, you know.
Yeah, like, I just think everyone has their own, like, you know, own prerogative, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, I tweeted out not that long ago, because I was thinking about this same kind of a thing, like, how many fighters who have left the UFC on their own terms? Like, you know what I mean? There's several out there, but you never hear about it.
Yep.
And I think that'd be a really interesting, like, thing for someone to research and write about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of to hear the other side of it, because it's not all rainbows and sunshine over at the UFC, you know?
No, of course not.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that interests me, just because, you know, I'm in this, you know, in the sport.
Well, it's funny you say that. You know, this last week was the whole Eskimo brother situation with Brendan Schaub and Dana White. And then there was an interview with Josh Thompson, a guy who left the UFC.
I saw that.
A couple times. And he's saying that, well, there's a bunch of dudes I know who were dating girls that Dana White was interested in, and they mysteriously stopped getting put on pay-per-views and mysteriously got cut. And, you know, I thought it was kind of funny. I posted, I went, oh boy, the first domino fell, Brendan Schaub. Now here's Josh Thompson. Do any of those people that he's mentioning come out
speak
and say
out.
Anything? That would be really interesting. I'd like to see what happens there.
Well, yeah.
How Dana White's wife feeling right about now?
Yeah. Well, she's... I don't know, man. I almost said something earlier too, when we're, you know, we're talking about somebody.
Mm.
I mean, I think people can put two and two together, but I'm just, you know, political reasons, I won't say anymore.
Good call.
But who, you know, maybe that's had something to do with some decisions that have been made.
Maybe.
Who knows? I don't know.
There's a possibility, you know, but you know, I mean, you think about it and that's kind of funny. Yeah. I mean, everything is not perfect everywhere you go. Grass is always greener, right?
Then
you go and it's like, oh man, I do like that one thing about that place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is, man. I'm that kind of person that it's like, and my wife gives me a hard time about it, where she's like, you know, nothing is like, you're never satisfied.
No.
And it's like, you know, I see where she's coming from, but I feel like I am satisfied a lot of times. But
really?
The things that bother me are like, you know, like we bought a new house and like, boy, you know what I wish this house had? A mudroom. That'd be really cool. Like when you walk in, you could take your shoes off. Da, da, da.
Yeah. Just,
will you ever be satisfied? You know, this house is awesome. Like, yes, I know this house is awesome. I'm not denying that. But yeah. Like, you know, I always think about shit like that. Like,
no, I think that's good though. Like I'm the same way too. Like, you know, I'm never happy, I guess. That's not, you know, not happy as in like I never have a smile or anything, but again, the whole satisfied, like, you know, I just got a new car and like me, I'm like, yeah, you know, like I thought that was gonna bring me happiness, right?
Yeah,
like,
but you miss your Lexus.
I miss my Lexus, right? Like we talked about already. I was already pinpointing like little things I hated, you know, this and that, or you know, I get this contract with Bellator or whatever and I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I wish, you know, this or I wish that. Like it's, I think that's human nature, is just that's what keeps us kind of going forward.
Yeah.
If we just settled, then I don't know, man. Like I'm, you know, to get kind of deep here, I'm kind of afraid of the future, you know, like when my body does give it out, like I don't, like I'm almost in this place of like, what the fuck am I gonna do?
Right. What's your plan after?
What's gonna
all of
be?
This?
Yeah. Like, you know, Rick the other day at strength and conditioning, he was asking me, he's like, so what's your plan when, you know, what's your plan after fighting? I was like, well, fuck, man. I mean, there's some things I want to do. There's some things, like some avenues and shit. But, I mean, realistically, I don't know, you know.
But see, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, my dad always asked me, like, when I was younger, like, what do you want to do? Like, it doesn't matter right now. Like, I have time to decide what I want to do, you know. I mean, see, obviously now at my age, it's a little different. But, like, but I'm on a career path, right?
Yeah.
But that still doesn't mean that I know this is what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
Like, the way the world is now, people start new careers at 50 years old, you know, or people go back to school at 45 and they, you know, they start something completely different. And I don't think that there's something that says I'm not going to do that. I mean, for me, I'm always open to a new challenge and I like to try new things. So, you know, maybe I would do something differently too, but I certainly don't know what the future holds, and I'm kind of with you on being scared about the future. Like,
yeah,
I mean, if it wasn't for, I mean, you know, I personally, I'm very lucky that, you know, my wife is, you know, she's a planner and she's, you know, she's helped set us up for the future in a much better way than I ever could have.
Yeah.
You know, but that's part of finding a good significant other, right? You find someone who knows your strengths and your weaknesses. You can play off each other, whatever. But,
I don't know. I guess like my whole thing is I just don't want to think I wasted my life. Like, you know, is that like, I almost like, okay, so I have this like inner battle. Like, I don't know how we even got to this point, but anyways, so like I have this thing where like, you know, years ago, when I first started fighting, I never really looked at it as like,
like a career.
I did, but I didn't like in my mind, like that's what I always hoped would happen. You know, but I never thought it would actually possibly really happen.
Yeah.
And now that it's starting to happen, I'm like in this point of like, fuck, like how long is this ride going to last?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you get injuries and, you know, you're dealing with different stuff. And like, I'm always thinking like, you know, you never know that your next fight could be your last fight, you know?
Yep.
And I guess the whole mortality of fighting, I guess that's been kind of in the back of my mind, you know? And I think with a lot of fighters too, it's the same thing. I don't think a lot of fighters like to admit it, you know.
Yeah.
And normally when people hear fighters talk like this, they're probably gonna say, "Well, then you should probably get out of the game. You're half in and half out." No, it's not that. Like, I'm down to fight fucking whoever. But my point is, I also know that this has a fucking time limit, and I don't want to be fucking Chris Lieben and fucking Phil Baroni. That's what I'm getting at.
There you go. To bring it full circle.
Honestly, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think you're smart enough to know that that's not what you want. you know, where
I'm gonna do porn. That just came to me. The Half Black Attack. Are you kidding me? What? I got a porn name already. I'm fucking set. Never mind. I'm cool.
There you go. That's the new plan of action. Yeah. Well, shit. Let's get back to let's just get out of this deep philosophical stuff. Hey,
speaking
stuff.
Of porn and MMA, to bring even better together, do you know War Machine has a fiance?
A pen pal fiance.
Yeah, I saw that. Man, I didn't realize he had life. He got life in prison for that.
Fuck him. From beating up Christian. Shit.
Dude, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's a terrible person.
Did you, which actually even connects more dots. Phil Baroni is his boy, and Phil Baroni backs him 100%.
Well, I hope Chris Lieben beats the shit out of Phil Baroni then.
All right, well, there we go.
I can't get behind anybody who's going to beat a woman, and especially as brutally as he did.
That was pretty bad.
Out of control. Yeah. That was out of control. Yeah. I just cannot support you even a little bit. Yeah. There's a couple things that like you murdered somebody, like there might have been a reason for it,
mm-hmm.
like maybe, but like that wasn't even what you did. You didn't like walk in there and in a fit of jealousy shoot this person. Like you went in there and you beat the shit out of someone who was helpless in that scenario. Like and you tormented them. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like you were on a list with like child molesters as far as I'm concerned.
Like, yeah, like the whole story's pretty fucking dark.
Dude,
man.
So dark. And then if we're keeping it with pro sports and people beating up their girlfriends,
yeah.
Did you see the pictures that came out about LaShawn McCoy's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Holy shit, man.
So wait,
what is happening in the world that a professional like dude, you can't take a shit without people knowing about it, and then you're just gonna beat the shit out of your girlfriend and think she's not gonna post pictures?
Hold on, time out, wait though. On that, there's something weird about that case because I've read several different things pertaining to that.
Yeah.
Some people are saying that he didn't hit her. That she got, like, she paid someone or there was some weird fuckery where, like, she got beat up by someone else and she said it, LaShawn McCoy did it.
Because, that is crazy, and I wouldn't put it past someone.
So I'm waiting to make my judgment on that because there's also, I heard a phone call to like, the police he made where he's like, yo, like, I'm trying to get this girl out of my house. Please, can you guys come? I'm an NFL player.
Yeah, like the this Reuben Foster situation. Scenario.
Who?
Reuben Foster, 49ers, that just happened to him where the girl came out and admitted that she lied, that he didn't beat her up.
Oh, shit. Well, I didn't know about that. The world is a crazy place. Yeah,
but let's remember that nobody likes War Machine. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And whoever your pen pal fiance is, whatever.
That's crazier to
you're
me.
You're crazy.
Is that these girls who like fall in love with like these murderers.
Dude, Ted Bundy?
Right? He was fucking cleaning house.
Uh-huh. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Let's rein it in. Let's just rein it in.
I think that's the beauty of this podcast though. We don't.
We can get a little off topic. So we just before we sat down in here, we just watched UFC Fight Night Shogun versus Anthony Smith.
Like just to get off real bad, like am I the one that feel like this? Like that fight card was kind of a little bit lackluster.
Well, so I haven't watched the prelims yet. Just watched the main card.
Yeah, we just watched the main card.
But boy, it didn't really do it for me.
Be honest, if I didn't have this coffee, I probably would have fell asleep. Like it wasn't even that the fights were that bad. It just weren't. Like I just felt like they weren't good.
Yeah, like they didn't like the
it was sloppy,
and you didn't have interest in it. Prior, you weren't like, ooh.
I actually forgot.
Marcin Tybura and Stefan Struve. Can't wait for that one.
Yeah. That barn burner.
Yeah.
Man, you know, I came over, I was like, fuck, did you realize there's UFC fights on? You're like, yeah, I just noticed there's da da da. And then.
Well, I knew they were on, but I thought it was later, because they're replaying on my guide. So when I looked ahead and I didn't realize they were in the morning. And I'm kind of bummed because my favorite thing is morning time UFC.
Like, really?
I love that. I love when the cards are early. I'd way rather a card.
Yeah,
be early
I don't mind
than late.
It, but yeah, like this one was like kind of it just went underneath the radar.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, because there's so many big fights coming up and so many big fights that just happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a weird one. That Stefan Struve and Tybura fight was really weird. Like you have two guys who are ranked heavyweights.
Yeah.
And you think about it. We were talking about this before. Like when I say those two names, when you think about those two guys, they're just like really middle of the road heavyweights, and I can't imagine either of them ever challenging for the title. But then you were like, yeah, but what if Stefan Struve pulls off 3 wins in a row? Like, that's next thing you know,
it's like, oh, it's the longest winning streak in the heavyweight division. Like I said last week, dude, heavyweights suck.
Yeah. Well, you said it more than last week.
I don't know. Someone tweeted at me and they're like, yeah, you have a way to do suck. And I was like, yeah, goddamn right they do. Like, I don't think people realize it until someone says it. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're right.
That's... Yeah, there's a handful of really good heavyweights out
there. I mean, even, okay, like we were talking earlier, you know, I was like, do you think, like, you actually stopped me before I even finished my sentence. I was like, do you think Stipe just, you're like, nope. I was like, okay. But, you know, you're saying, like, even Stipe's, like, performances, they weren't really that impressive.
His absolute most impressive performance is his fight against Ngannou. Like, that that was his, like, his
but even then, it was kind of like a little bit of a snore fest, right?
Yeah, well I don't know that it was a snore fest, but, like, you probably should have finished him.
Mm-hmm.
You probably should have put him away in that fight. But like, you look back at the other fights that he's had, and he gets clipped a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, you know, he's been in position to lose a bunch of fights that he's won.
Yeah. So, you know? Like, what my point is, though, is, you know, when you actually really look back on his fights and reflect on the actual fights itself, you go, oh, okay, you're mm-hmm. right. It's not that impressive. But the way the UFC hypes it up, everyone goes, oh, Stipe is the best heavyweight that's ever da-da-da-da. Like, I feel like we get mesmerized by whatever, like, the, you know, when a finish happens in a heavyweight division, that's what you see. That's what you think about. But you don't remember the, yeah, but they're holding each other for 4.5 minutes before that punch came.
Yeah. You know? Rarely do you have an Alistair Overeem versus Brock Lesnar type of fight. Rarely do you have a Kane versus Brock Lesnar type of performance.
Yeah, well, even those were still kind of, if you go back and watch it, you're like, well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, you just like Brock Lesnar getting beat up.
No. Go watch what Kane did to Brock. Oof.
Yeah, he fucked him up. But, I mean, it still was kind of like, okay, so Brock shot in for a takedown, and then Kane rolled him through.
Got up. For sure, we're focusing on the highlight, but like you don't have that many high level performance.
But I'm saying, wasn't it like a competitive?
Yeah, that's the problem, is it wasn't super competitive because of Brock. But
Alistair Overeem and Brock. Hey, I was actually in Alistair Overeem's. There's a clip of me in his documentary. You can find it. I'm fat as shit in it.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God, he owes me a fucking T-shirt, and I never got it
because
he did a thing where he's like, I want everyone to post their reactions. You guys can go look for this reaction of because the UFC want to let the documentary crew in. So everyone, like, record your reactions, and I'm gonna pick out several winners or whatever. And the ones that are in the video will win a free T-shirt.
That is so sweet. And he never gave it to you.
Yep.
You should call him out on it, dude.
I just did. No, but I should, right?
Oh, I'm gonna just start tweeting him nonstop.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, man.
That is awesome.
Never got my shirt. But yeah, you can find it. It's out there. Look up the Overeem versus Brock Lesnar, the Ream documentary or whatever. You'll find it.
Those the Ream documentary videos were so good.
Oh, I was so into it for like the first like 3 episodes.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm over it. So.
Yeah, well, you can get over something like that quick.
Yeah.
If it came out as one thing, it would have been dope. Yeah. But, you know, whatever.
Oh, well. But yeah, man. It was me a shirt.
But yeah, so Stefan Struve and Marcin Tybura, it was like meh.
It was
a pretty meh fight. What's up with Stefan Struve always getting his bottom lip cut? Like he cuts the space between his chin and his lip. Like, this is like the second or third time he's done that.
I just chalked it up to like maybe like what is he?
Giant teeth to go with his giant head and his giant body.
I was gonna say like Swedish people just have like jagged teeth or something.
Is he Swedish?
I don't fucking know. He's Icelandic or what?
I don't know, man.
Some Eastern European, like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, English people are all known for, like, having fucked up teeth?
Uh-huh.
Like, I just figured Eastern Europe was just that. I don't know. No? Okay.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, where Sweden is and where, like...
Wait, is he from Sweden?
Well, but you said Sweden first, and then you said Eastern
Europe. Dude, I don't I'm just saying. Listen, I'm not a Stefan Struve fucking fan boy, or, you know, he's somewhere, and there's big people, and I just figured that maybe, you know, that's just part of the genes. They have fucked up teeth.
Maybe. You know what?
What?
He's from Holland.
That's what I meant. Fuck.
We should have both known that.
Holland and Sweden, they're the same.
If there's two things that you'll get from this podcast is that we won't be able to pronounce names properly.
Nope.
And we won't know where people are from.
Yep.
Because we don't see that kind of thing.
We don't care enough.
We're equal opportunity, like, haters.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate a lot of things and people.
Totally. Yeah. So that fight was weird. There was one fight on the card that had, it was a welterweight fight with David Zawada and Danny Roberts. And that was kind of a weird fight.
Yeah.
That was weird. Cause it was like David Zawada was like kind of technical.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny Roberts was just like pretty athletic.
Yeah.
It was like oddly sloppy, but also kind of weirdly exciting.
Yeah. See, I actually kind of dug that fight. Like, and I shouldn't say I dug it, but
it was split decision.
Yeah. I was entertained by it.
It was entertaining, but like there was nothing in it that you were like, these guys are spectacular.
Yeah.
But that Danny Roberts guy, he had a lot of hype coming in. And
oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it was still, you know, it was still just kind of okay,
mm-hmm.
you know? The weirdest fight, though, was that one. It was Vitor Miranda and Abu Aziatar? Aziatar?
All right, dude.
Aziatar?
Yeah.
Abu.
Abu, yeah, he's just Abu.
That was like a very strange fight to me.
I hated that fight.
Yeah, that was really weird. Right off
the bat. Like, I hated that one so much, I was getting angry that we had to watch it. Fuck, man. I just don't even like MMA. You know, right. That was the time where I was like, I don't even like this. Like, it wasn't that it was boring. It wasn't that it was a stalling match. It just didn't seem like they deserved to be there.
Yeah, it was weird. And you know the funny thing is Vitor Miranda had a bunch of fights in the UFC prior to this. I think he had like 6 fights in the UFC before mm-hmm. this fight. And then Abu is a prospect that's coming in with some hype behind him. He was like 9-1, signed to the UFC, and you put him in there against a guy who has 6 fights,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's kind of a tall order, and you put him on the main card. Okay. Yeah, so yeah. Like I give him a little credit for coming in and, you know, taking a spot on the main card and, you know, that's cool. And you get the win, but like, it was just an ugly fight.
Yeah.
Like, it was ugly, man.
There's something weird about this card in general, man. Like it should be just called UFC fucking sloppy.
You know? Yeah, it was sloppy. It was weird.
Like, all the fights tonight I thought were kind of just like, eh. The only fight I thought was tight. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, there's only 2 fights where people weren't the sloppiness didn't come into play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was Corey Anderson and Glover Teixeira, mm-hmm. and then Anthony Smith and Shogun.
Yep.
But, because Corey Anderson looked good, man.
He did. Like, you know, he's not a guy I like to watch fight. Like,
he's just in there working overtime, bro.
That's what he does, man. He just works and works and works.
Working all that overtime. This one gets paid time and a half all the time. Does the UFC know they're paying him time and a half? That's what I want to know. When does he get double time?
I don't know, man.
If he gets a 5-round fight, does 4 and 5 go into double time?
I think so. I think so. I think that's how it works. I hope so for his
sake. You know, you can't back off a nickname like Beast in 25-8. Like, you can't do that. And then you come in and like, this is the conversation I guarantee happened. He's sitting down with one of his buddies at the gym and they're like, you know, Beast in 25-8, bro, you've been catching a lot of heat for that nickname. It's kind of dumb. And he's like, no, man, I love it. I love this nickname.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what that really means is Beast in 25-8. It just means you're working overtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to call you overtime. And it's like, oh man, I kind of like that. Like, that's gotta be what happened. That has to be it.
I hope that's what happened, but I'm going to say it's not what happened. I'm going to say that
he just got embarrassed about getting made fun of and changed his nickname.
He just changed it himself. I think he took it upon himself.
He just went straight Rory McDonald and changed his nickname.
It's like, all right, Beast in 25-8 isn't taking off. Like, I hope it would. Like, he thought it was going to be like some new slang thing.
Maybe
like,
he blamed his losses on all that beasting.
Fuck, man, I guess. You know, it's speaking of Beast, and just real off topic, I had to, like, I saw the guy the other day who was walking down the street, and he had a shirt that said Beast Mode on it, and he mm-hmm. looked like he never did anything that's ever taken any effort in his life.
Mm.
And that drove me fucking bananas. Just seeing him wear that shirt, and I was like, why would you wear that? You know you've never done any fucking physical exertion in your life. How dare you, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's man.
Beasting out on cheeseburgers, man.
Yeah, Corey Anderson, I mean, you know, he looked good. You know, he was catching him with some good uppercuts. You know,
his jab looked all right.
He was actually using a jab, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, credit for that.
He's long.
He's a lanky dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Working his wrestling, working takedowns, mixing it up.
Mm-hmm. Not the best on the mic.
No. Not good on the mic at all.
Not good.
My complaint about it was I felt like he could have finished that fight. I really feel like he could have.
Yeah, I feel like
he could have finished him on the feet. Like, you know, you had him rocked, you know, pretty well in the second round. Like, I feel like you could have finished the fight, but maybe not. You know, Glover Teixeira is hard to finish. And to Glover Teixeira's credit, he did go for a couple of late submissions at the end of two rounds. Like, at least he's trying. You know, I give him credit for trying. Yeah. He never gives up in a fight.
Yeah.
You know, you think back to when he fought John Jones and he's on the stool like, man, I can't believe this. He was apologizing to his coaches and stuff. Like there's something to a guy who like that. You know what I mean? Someone who, when they notice their shortcomings, they feel bad that they're letting their team down. But you can see him going out there and still trying to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Like, I can respect someone who's like, okay, what do I have to do to adjust here? Because obviously this isn't working.
Yeah.
You know, but Corey Anderson, man, he looked pretty good.
Look, what happens when you put in that overtime, dude?
That's right. Putting in overtime will get you there.
But the fucking star of the show is Anthony Smith.
Your best friend forever.
That guy, you know what? I actually do fuck with him. I mean, I've had a conversation with him before over Twitter. You know, seems like a cool dude to me. I will say he did bite my style a little bit. He came out to Return of the Mac. Everyone knows I did that first. I don't think any other fighter has done that.
It's never happened before.
Couldn't have. But, you know, I mean, that's what happens. You come out to Return of the Mac, you get a big first round knockout. It's a good trend, you know.
They go hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand, yeah. So, shout out to him on that. And just don't fucking steal my song ever again. just kidding. I probably won't use that song ever again, but still.
Yeah, one time deal.
Yeah, most likely.
Well, I mean, man. He really put it on Shogun.
He did. He was clipping him. I don't know. I don't think Shogun landed anything.
Yeah, maybe a punch or two, but
yeah. But Shogun did look like shit.
Yeah, you said it beforehand. Yeah. You were like, you know, Shogun always kind of had a dad bod.
Yeah.
But this is like the daddiest.
The daddiest of bods. Like, it's almost like he didn't give a shit. He was like, fuck, I need some more money. Let's go do this. He's
getting up there, hit 36.
Yeah.
Riding high on that 3-fight win streak, feeling like he's going to get the shot at DC.
Nope.
Nope.
Not happening, dude.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? What you were saying, because I came into I went to the bathroom. You're still watching, I think. You said that he called out Alexander Gustafsson.
Yeah, right. That's who he called out after the win. He called out Alexander Gustafsson, and I think that's a really killer matchup. You got really tall guys, like lanky strikers. I'd love to watch that fight.
Man, it's such short notice though. I mean, he just had a short notice fight with Shogun, and he's gonna do another one. I mean, there's just some people who just like to fight, man, and I think he's just one of those guys.
He clearly likes to fight. 29 years old, has 43 fights.
He's just one of those dudes who's like, fuck it, let's just do it. Which, you know, hey, more power to you, man. You know.
Yeah. Well, he calls a shot, man. He really does. He got a win like in some smaller organization. It was on like HDNet or something. Access TV, and he had on a hat that was like, Dana, call me. And I can respect that game, you know. And this is a guy who fought for Bellator and then went off and fought for some smaller organizations after that. So
yeah,
he's
no
really
idea.
Been through it, man. Like he's worked hard and I like where he's going.
No, he's legit, man. His hands are good.
Hard to say what will happen. Get in there, you know, get in there against the guy who can get you to the mat and hold you down. Like, and you know, maybe Gustafsson does that a little bit if he thinks that the striking's not working out for him. But Alexander Gustafsson likes to strike.
Yeah, his boxing is sick.
And I gotta think Gustafsson's reach is longer than Smith's, but maybe I'm crazy.
Well, Gustafsson's for sure gonna be a little bit bigger. I mean, you know, Anthony Smith was an 85er, but I think 205 is gonna be perfect for him.
Makes more sense for him.
He has a good, you know, a good frame for it.
Dude,
still has his power.
Why are you trying to fight at 85?
Why?
Right? Yeah. What are you doing that for?
These tall people who do want to cut down to these smaller weights, I sometimes wonder why. Like,
yeah, you tall assholes.
Right? Honestly, if I was taller, just like if I was 2 to 3 inches taller, I would not even fucking consider ever dropping to 55.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I drop down to 55. I'm tiny. Like, height-wise, like I just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and like these guys who are just fucking tall.
I like to think you're average.
Oh, well, thanks, bud. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, that's the only reason why I considered, you know, going down smaller weight classes, because of the length.
Yeah. Well, but then there's those guys who are like super duper skinny and tall. Like, they don't have hips. They're like, their legs are skinny and they're just super tall and thin.
And I feel like they would still have pretty good success at a...
Just move up one weight class and just call it what it is.
I think so. Yeah. Just because, I mean, you know, you got the legs and the arms to do submissions off your back if needed. You still, you know, still got the length to touch people up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. Everyone's got their own reason, I guess.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You talk about tall people, not to get off of it, get away from this, but, you know, big ups to Anthony Smith, killer win. I would love to see him fight Gustafson. I think that's a good matchup. See if he gets that. That's kind of a high profile one to ask for, but you know, whatever. Probably not a lot of people calling Gustafson out, really.
No, but I just know Gustafson's in need of a fight, so it's smart.
Yep. Another guy who's pretty tall, who has a fight coming up, is James Vick.
Yeah.
6'3", fights at 55. He's big.
Fucking crazy, right? Mm-hmm. That's another guy. Like, hey, man, you're a dick. Just fight at 170.
Yeah, and stop sitting in front of me at the movie theater, fucker.
For real, man. Like, these tall fucking guys. God.
Yeah, but he's tall, and he's fighting Justin Gaethje.
Yeah,
and he talks some shit.
I haven't seen what he was saying.
He basically was like, Justin Gaethje is a human punching bag, and I don't know why you guys like him. Like, he's like, look, I'm a fan. Like, I like watching his fights because it's exciting. Yeah. But like, I don't understand why you think this guy's gonna beat me. He's like, this fight is not going to a decision. He's like, this fight is not making it out of the second round. He's like, he'll be lucky if he makes it out of the first round. Yeah. He was talking all kinds of shit. He's like, and you know what? I have the skills to do it. He's like, I'm going to put him away. He was talking all kinds of
James Vick's legit, too.
But you know what he doesn't give Justin Gaethje credit for? Is Justin Gaethje has a way of making people get into weird brawls with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he can do that to everyone, but he seems to have the ability to do it.
Like, I feel like some people, it's almost like a lot of fighter mentality is just like, okay, let's just find out. Like, you know, you want to stand and rock him, sock him, let's do it.
I think people get sick of getting kicked in the leg by him. He kicks super hard. And he kicks people in the calf.
He's really good with his kicks.
That starts to happen, and they're like, "Fuck, what do I do?"
Yeah,
like I think that's like his one thing that he does that people don't
give him credit for.
Yeah, his leg kicks are out of control.
His leg kicks are nasty,
and that fucks people's fight games up.
Which, you know, I think he for this, you know, that's the thing James Vick had to watch out for is that. But I don't know. I feel like Gaethje's going to switch it up a little bit. I don't think he's going to try to brawl as much.
He has to.
I think he's going to try Russell.
He has to. What's he going to do? Can't just go in there and lose another fight.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is a guy they're giving to main events and shit right out of the gate. Like,
right? This is like third main event. You know, he's only won one fight.
Right. but, you know, I mean, he's got something, man. There's something there, but I just don't see how.
I guess his mentality is, look, even if I lose this fight, I'm going to make up for it for the $50,000 bonus.
Yeah, you know, certainly going to collect bonuses.
If I do win, I'm going to get my win bonus plus the 50. So either way, I'm going to make out okay.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
but he gets hit a lot.
Yeah, he's a guy that I'm worried about. Like I said it a long time ago. I was like, you know, I feel like he's a guy who deep down, I think he has some self-hate. I think he doesn't like himself.
I don't know if he doesn't like himself, but he certainly doesn't like his brain because he is.
Well, that's what I mean. I feel like people who have that kind of fighting of just, I'm coming forward, I'm going to fight. I feel like there's something deep and dark there. I mean, a la Chris Lieben, right?
Yeah.
There's something deep and dark there. He was one of those guys who's like, I don't give a shit about my body. I'm just going to blah, 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 go fight. You know, maybe that's just me overanalyzing. I don't know the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Chris Lieben seems more reckless to me than a guy like Gaethje. Gaethje's not a guy with like, you know, known substance abuse issues.
No,
like,
no. But I mean, you know, everyone has their own like little self, whatever they do. That,
yeah.
You know.
When I first moved back up here from California, I was living down there with Sarah for a while, and
yeah,
when we moved back up. I started working at this place, and my buddy that I was working with, he got a DUI, and he comes into work one day. He's like, "Yeah, there's like a UFC guy in my diversion class." I'm like, yeah. "Really?" He's like, "Yeah. You ever heard of him? His name's like Chris something, Chris Ledbetter or something." I was like, "Chris Leben?" Like, yeah, that's him. Yeah. I was like, "Holy shit, really?" He's like, "Yeah, man, he's in my diversion class. He's a super nice guy."
That's so funny.
It's super funny. He's like, "Yeah, you know, if we were in a diversion, I'd go out and have a drink with him." I'm like, fucking alcoholic. Stop it.
That's great.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Like, and that was, man, he was still somebody back then, just fucking going to diversion. Crazy.
So, man, some people just, they self-sabotage themselves.
There's some good fights coming up.
What do we got?
We got Dustin Poirier and... goddamn Eddie Alvarez. The two guys with Underground King. They're the two guys with wins over Justin Gaethje recently.
Yeah, and you know they had their first exciting fight. So the rematches, I think it's gonna be another exciting fight.
Illegal knees to the head of a ground.
Yeah, opponent. I mean they've been talking shit too, and you know if I had to pick, I'm going Poirier. He's gonna win it. I just think he's on a roll right now.
He's too technical. Like, I think, personally, for Eddie Alvarez. Technical.
I mean, he does get clipped every now and then, and that's his one little Achilles heel, but, I mean, yeah. You know.
Well, fine. Eddie Alvarez, just like Justin Gaethje, can get you into a brawl.
Exactly.
He's good at that. Mm-hmm. But when he fights technical strikers, it's not good for him. You know, think about what Conor did to him.
Yeah.
It was not pretty. I'm not saying that Dustin Poirier is like going to be as technical as Conor McGregor, but he's good, man. He's good. And
no, I've been on the Poirier train for a minute before he was in the UFC, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
He's a good dude, and you know his fighting style is exciting. I mean, one of my favorite fights of all time actually is him and Korean Zombie.
Love that fight.
That was a great fight. I mean, he lost, but it was a good fucking fight.
It was a good fight. Yeah, it was a really good fight. But that was Korean Zombie, like, at the top of his game, too.
Yeah.
And Poirier now.
Poirier was barely new.
At 55,
it's different.
He's a different fighter. But, you know, speaking of Korean Zombie, did you hear the rumor that he's coming back and they are going to have him fight Frankie Edgar?
That's stupid.
That is a terrible matchup for the Korean Zombie.
Well, it's like, you've been gone for fucking two years in the military?
He must have been gone 3-4 years by now.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have him fight Frankie Edgar. Just like, we'll just throw you in there against Frankie Edgar. No big deal.
All right. Who do you got with the co-main of that fight, though? Joanna and Torres.
That's on that same card with...
Alvarez and Poirier.
Yeah, I got to go with you and Jacek all the way.
Same. So I guess we're not going to do any like special.
No crazy bets this card. I think we're in agreement.
We're
but
the same. So you know what that means, right? Now they're both going to lose.
Yeah. If there's one guarantee in life, it's that you know when you're certain two fighters are going to win, they're definitely going to lose. Yeah. Oh. There's that, and when you think a heavyweight fight's going to end in the first round, it's going to a decision.
It's going all three. We don't need judges for this one. And then it's Ngannou versus Lewis.
Yep. But you liked that fight, so it's okay.
I did. I actually did enjoy that one, which is funny. Yeah. You know, I only know a handful of people who liked it.
Yeah.
I know I did. Chell said he liked it.
I didn't mind it.
And Israel Adesanya, he liked it too.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. Like it wasn't great. I mean, it certainly wasn't what I was expecting. But I can respect Derek Lewis's game plan in that fight. I still don't understand what was up with Ngannou, but I can respect what Derek Lewis was doing. It's like one of the first times you've seen him show any kind of restraint and try to have a game plan like that. So it was
shows that it is maturity and development as a fighter.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, you can't expect him to go in there and fight guys who are supposed to be title challengers or guys who are, you know, top 1, 2, 3 guys and have him go in there and just put on a half-ass performance. That's not smart.
No.
You know, and he's smart, you know. He wants money too. He doesn't want to just get in there and fight. He wants to make a little bread. He wants to get a little gold around his waist.
He's got
to
look out for himself, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was I was hoping we were going to have some other fight news in here, you know, about a local guy, but it fell through from what I hear. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, it's nothing.
Keep your ear to the ground, people. Yeah. There could be fight news coming.
Yeah, let's just say I've been contacted by Mr. Mike Kogan, which a lot of people don't even know who that is.
Mm.
He is actually the Dana White of Bellator, but he stays behind the scenes, unlike Dana White.
So, yeah.
So he's actually the big shot. He can make, he oversees like whatever decision he makes, oversees Rich Cho, or it's kind of cool when you get a text from that guy,
right?
So that's neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. You know, let's just say that the guy that they're trying to match me up with is I would say probably top five.
Yeah, I division. I sent you, when you sent me a text about it, I replied, that is a capital G guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's a guy. That's a name. So
legit guy.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, but keep your ears to the ground, people. until next time, hope you guys enjoyed it. Drink some core water. You know?
Yeah, rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz.
Yeah, subscribe, rate, and review. And hit us up on social media. Let us know what you think. We'll be there to talk to you. Later.